Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
I think somebody knows that today, that you run out of adjectives. You know it today. Glory, glory. That's it. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yeah. My. Father, we come today with that word on our lips. Awesome. Incredible. Great. And greatly to be praised in the city of our God. As we come today, God, we stand because of an awesome God. We preach because of an awesome God. We serve because of an awesome God. As we stand today, may we decrease and may you increase. Save somebody today, encourage another, and we'll be glad to give your name the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a sweet spirit in this place, and we know it's the Spirit of the Lord. There's a word that comes from the Gospel of Luke, 18th chapter, verses 15 through 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, but Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Verse 17, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, "All My Children." One of the proudest moments that me and my wife have is the fact that we are called parents. And we have three wonderful children. Isn't that what parents are supposed to say? You may have been a rascal, but they say, "I got three wonderful children." They are now adults, and we have extended family and grands now. But we realize that children are a blessing from the Lord. They're not mistakes. They're not accidents. Psalm 127:3 says that they are a heritage from the Lord. As we come about this new school year here in the Mid-Atlantic, because some of our viewers have already been in school 2 weeks, God bless them, but they'll get out sooner. But we know that our educators and our colleges and universities and the like are preparing for students to come back, and they always look for the best in children. You might be 22, a freshman, well, that's a little old, and I guess you'll be a senior by then. You're still a child, and there's someone trying to pour into you. I believe that when you say you want the best for children, it's not just a motto, but it is something that we embrace, is that we're always pushing them to become better than who they currently are. I'm honored to be the baby brother of two retired school teachers. Pauline, I'm sorry, I still can't write cursive. I have a sister-in-law who's a retired educator and a daughter who's currently in the classroom. So I got a little credibility when it comes to at least talking education. But there is one who knows all about children, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Today we come to a powerful story. Put on your spiritual imagination that we see Jesus coming in contact with children. You may say now, he's not a father, maybe not an earthly father. Don't worry about what you've seen in Hollywood. He is a spiritual father. God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I like what writer Max Lucado says in his book, God Came Near. He talked about Mary raising Jesus. And he says, I wonder if she ever accidentally called him father. That even though that was her boy, he was also her father. Even though that was her son, he was also her savior. Jesus was no ordinary child. Wise beyond his years, a mixture of homeschooling and gifted and talented altogether, with honors. You remember the time he was there in Jerusalem at the age of 12. Mom and daddy realized they left him behind, came back to find him sitting with the educated folk, the professors and the lawyers and the doctors. They were confounded because they didn't know how much he knew. He had that kind of wisdom he was able to share with them. He was an unusual child. And this Jesus we see today is now in his 30s, beginning his ministry. And I think that what we ought to see as being is the importance of being selected and corrected and connected. Verse 15 says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. The parents also. That meant that he had to deal with some other stuff before the parents got there. Deal with some other questions and concerns. But this was important to him. And it was traditional in part to bring your child to be blessed. But on this day, it wasn't an ordinary rabbi. They brought their children to Jesus. I mean, after all, they're all his children. Parents were selective. It mattered who touched them. It mattered who pronounced blessings over them. It ought to matter for us. And I don't say go to school and hassle your teacher now, but go and be nice to the teacher. And go to back to school night and go to teacher conference night. And you might strike a relationship with that. Oh, some of y'all have tried that. Yeah, you don't believe what Junior said. You went there and you met the teacher. Amen? But Jesus, there must have been something about his touch. His resume said that he touched a man with leprosy. He was healed. He touched a 12-year-old girl and she got up from the dead. He touched a blind man. He touched the deaf. And yet there was tension because his disciples saw this and they wanted to guard Jesus' time. And we all need somebody like that. He's busy, can't talk now. We all need a front person. Otherwise, we'll get nothing done. But this was so important to Jesus to make sure that he rebuked them and said, hold on. These are important times. And these are all my children. Matthew 18:3 talks about how the disciples on one occasion were arguing about who was the greatest. No, man, me. No, me. And Jesus got wind of it. Hey, bring a child over here and let me place the child here. Now, this is the greatest. Isn't that something? The example that he uses. But there was a selective spirit about what he saw, what the parents expected, and what the parents wanted. Now here's the tension in the text. Verse 16. There was a time of correction. But Jesus called the children to him, in spite of what the disciples had done, and said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The educators, it was a teachable moment, a time of correction, a time to make right. Jesus called the children. Let them come to me because they are important. Disciples, I appreciate you. But step back. Back off. Don't mess with them. They are important. Don't get in the way of them receiving the blessing. You know, we can do that sometimes, meaning well. We can get in the way of the blessing that God wants to bestow upon his children. Yeah, we don't mean to, but we have to let them go. But sometimes we block what God wants to do. I know I've gone out the realm of education. I'm going to your house now. Amen. I'm going to your community. Amen. And I'm helping me that we have to let God, whatever you want to do with them. And so when he calls them, he says, leave them alone. Why? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Ephesians 5:1. But follow God's example. Be imitators as God. Look at this. As dearly beloved children. I told you, they're all his children. He loves them in that way that there's a correction he has to make in what the disciples are doing. And oftentimes, he's got to correct us. Amen? Don't you love a corrected paper? I used to love to try to fool my professor as if I was like, unpacking. And he said, nice try, Tim. I didn't know the answer, but I was writing some stuff, man. Like, I believe that the mean that. Yeah. No. It was corrected. Thank God I passed. A time of correction. A time of selection. But then verse 17, I see a time of connection. Verse 17 says, truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. He helps the adult to make the connection. You will not receive the kingdom of God unless you come like a child. You will not enter. I don't mean that you won't be saved, but you won't have that childlike spirit. In other words, don't come grown up to me. Sometimes we come too grown up to God. I'm grown. No, you're not. I'm just your child. We're all your children. If you come that way in a childlike spirit, that things will open up. Because why? A child is innocent. There's humility. There's simple confidence in a child until we spoil them. Side note for another day. But he does not let parents off the hook. Now, if you keep reading in the text and the other places, he does not say, okay, end of story. They need to come. They come. I want to bless them. But I don't believe that parents are off the hook. That there are things that we have to do. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He may get the wrong path every now and then because we did that. Yeah. But once you put the stuff in them, how many folk know that the stuff was in you? Yeah. Oh, you were a slick somebody. You were a quiet rascal. But because your parents put some stuff in you, on your hard drive, you didn't get but so far. Amen? There is a connection between his love for children and what we have to do in terms of responsibility. Deuteronomy 6:9 always talks about the Shema. It is that we got to live it in front of them. Talk about it when they go to bed and when they get up. Don't be afraid to say, no, I'm not. No. You can talk about the Lord. If you believe him and you trust him, why are you afraid to talk about the Lord? Amen. That's so important. But you know, for a moment, take your grown-up mask off and become a child. And it will help us to embrace what 1 John 3:1 says. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called, there it is again, the children of God. Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called, there it is again, the children of God. All his children. If anybody asks you who I am, don't tell them Tim Tootin. Don't tell them the preacher up at the theater. Don't tell them the guy from TV. Tell them I'm a child of God. Now, I like that. If anybody asks you who you are, I don't need your resume and your credentials, but I just trust in the Lord. If anybody asks you who I am, I'm just a country fella. Amen. Trying to trust him. Folk ought to know that you are a child of God. We don't always act it, but we're still children of God. With all of our mess ups, we're all his children. In the family because he died for us. Invited to the reunion because we're in family. There ought to be a theme song when all God's children get together. What a time, what a time. We're going to sit down by the banks of the river. Oh, what a time. And talk about how he brought you over. And talk about how he's provided for you. And talk about how he makes a way out of no way. And talk about how he's a rock in a weary land. And talk about how he will keep you. We're all his children. It won't be a time about race, creed, or color. Middle class, lower class, higher class, party affiliation, denomination. We're all his. So I don't think you feel that thing yet. We're all his children. No need for a birth certificate. Your name is redeemed. Your daddy is God the Father. You were born the time when you accepted him. No need for footprints. Why? You're walking in the newness of life. Walk in the light. The beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Walk all around him. By day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. If we're all his children, then we can. I thought you looked like somebody I know. Why? We're his children. No. You act like our daddy. You talk like our daddy. You serve like our daddy. We must be kin. All his children. That's the word of God today. It's already blessed. Come on, stand today all over this place. All my children. What a great God we serve. That you've been included. You're special. And that's why we can come to him today. It's easy to become a part of the family. Just give your heart to Jesus. But you got to come, though. He won't sit out a purple personnel worker to try and find you and say, now you ain't in school. You're not giving your life. But he's waiting for us to open our hearts to him. Let's sing a little bit of that today. Come to Jesus. Come, just come to Jesus, come to Jesus. You know, when I think about the fact that I'm accepted, it's awesome because I know I don't deserve it. I missed the mark, and so have you. But the fact that there's a living Savior. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we meet people. They say, "Oh no, I don't believe in that principle." Okay, I'm an atheist. All right, but for me, it's the person. I believe in Jesus. I believe not in a set of rules. I believe in the word, but I believe in he who breathed on those who wrote the word. Does that make sense? So I'm more into the person than the process. And what the person did for me is he saved me from my sins. And that made me new. As you bow your heads today, Father, we come in the name of Jesus. That there might be somebody who needs to meet the person of Jesus Christ. The family welcome committee who wants to invite them in. Your word says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Father, we pray today, touch that heart and do it even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God the praise today. Amen. Give him the honor.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired, of course, by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.